Moves of God come because people act upon biblical principles and put them into practice, and you've got to want it. So I'm just honored to have you here tonight and to be able to share the truth of God's word with you. I'm going to be sharing some astounding stories in our message tonight, like the story that I just shared with you about the planting of that church on the island of Samar. I'm not sharing these to wow you, but to challenge you. Church, God wants to move in Glendive. He does. We're approaching the end times. I'm not going to tell you that the trumpet's going to blow between now and next week. I'm not going to tell you that the trumpet's going to blow before the year is over. But church, we live in a time of great destiny in America. And we're the church. We're the God-ordained body of believers that God brought together called the church. And we are here to rule and to reign in the power of his name. And God has been so good to bless this church with a pastor that I admire and I respect. And I'll just never have enough words to say how much I respect Pastor Kevin and his wife. The times that we've spent together, the fellowship that we enjoy, and the trust that he has placed in me in allowing me to come and speak to you and challenge you, let's be the church. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about a God that wants to manifest himself in the midst of his people. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, my friend up there. How you doing? You ready to go? Let's do it. Let's do it. Did the offering containers get up to you guys? Well, we took care of that, didn't we? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9, we're just going to do the front part. The prophet said, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would open the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, that twigs would be set on fire, that the water would boil, that you would make your name known. Now follow me. This is a great analogy of the need for spiritual renewal. The prophet is recognizing the lethargy across the land, and he's saying, God, come down and shake stuff up. Come on. Shake stuff up. Give us a level playing field. Set something on fire. Now, most of us here tonight have been around long enough to know that fire is a very good biblical term. And we know what it is to have the anointing, the fire, the quickening of God in our spirit, and to be alive because something is happening inside. Get something percolating at the deeper levels of my being, he is saying. And after he makes that statement, it's a principle that is called desperation. Church, pastor and I can talk about biblical principles, the need for revival, what God wants to do until we're blue in the face. But nothing will ever really change until the church takes ownership of the word and begins to put it into practice. That's when the renewal begins to come. So with a cry of desperation, the prophet says, God, shake stuff up around this place. Get something on fire. Give us the excitement for you and a move of God that we have for earthly things, God. Get it percolating at the deeper levels of our being. And then he goes on to say that the mountains would tremble before you as when fire sets twigs ablaze, causes water to boil. Come down and make your name known in Glendive. If you could read the Hebrew there in the book of Isaiah, I believe it says that. Make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. My heart cries, folks, for a move of God that will awaken the Glendive area to the power and significance of the name of Jesus Christ. It's more than a swear word, a passive word, folks. Like we heard this morning, we're on solid ground because we believe in the power and authority of the name of Jesus. And then he gives this magnificent statement. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect. You came down and the mountains trembled before you. Think about that. When you did awesome things that we did not expect. I'm going to say it a half a dozen times, folks, in challenging you as I challenge myself. Let's believe God for the unexplainable. Let's not put God in a box. Let's not allow ourselves to be in a box. Let's let something of a reviving sense touch us tonight, and we can begin with a fresh and newness to believe God for the unexplainable. Amen. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. This was sent to me by a friend via email. I am forwarding a letter from a friend of mine about the meetings we have been in. But I first want to tell you what I saw last night. The glory of the Lord started to fall during the offering last night. Let me repeat that again. Can you imagine revival breaking out, taking an offering? But that's what happened. The glory of the Lord started to fall during the offering last night. We had just had some of the most wonderful testimonies, and now at this Presbyterian church, something special was about to happen. The practice during the offerings is to have the whole church stand and bring their offerings forward and place them in a basket. The building was full of people. They came from everywhere, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists, FCA, Foursquare Assembly of God, all coming down the aisles. All of a sudden, a 16-year-old young man came up to me with tears in his eyes. He looked desperate, and he said, "Mister, can you help me?" I asked, "What do you need, son?" He said, "My brother is not saved. Can you help him?" I asked him to bring him to me. And this would not be out of normal because the whole church was walking up and down the aisles bringing their offerings. As soon as he got his brother to me, the presence and power of God touched his heart. This young man soon had tears running down his eyes as the precious Holy Spirit was touching his heart. I told the congregation about the good news. "Hey, folks, this young man has just given his heart to the Lord." Well, again, the glory of God fell as people were started cheering and praising God. You know, a lot like being here. enjoy this, folks. The young men of the church ran forward to pray with their new Christian brother. That started an avalanche of salvations and rededications. All I had to do was look up and see the need. I would move through the church and just look at someone, and they'd suddenly start crying and head for the altar. It was glorious. Then all of a sudden, those who were getting saved would run out into the congregation, get their friends, and bring them to the altar. I know. I personally said the sinner's prayer with 12 people, but I know that there were more. One young man named Sam came up to me with a great big grin on his face and said, "Hey, mister, I just led my first person to the Lord. This is great." What started out to be an offering of money turned into a 2-hour celebration of salvations, forgiveness, and healings. What a mighty God we serve. Let's believe God. Let's believe God, folks, when you did awesome things that we did not expect. I had no idea that girl was deaf. She'd never heard the message of the gospel at all, and God healed her on the spot. How do you explain that? Let's believe God for the unexplainable. How do you explain a lady who jumps out of the crowd, runs up on the platform, and starts yelling in her native tongue, "Let me tell you what God just did for me"? And the majority of the people in town know that woman. How do you explain the Spirit of God coming upon the scene and capturing people in His presence and holding them there for 45 minutes while people are healed one after another, after another, after another? I challenge you tonight, church. God wants to move in Glendive. He wants to move in the Assembly of God Church. He wants to set a couple of us on fire. He wants a couple of us to get percolating at the deeper levels of our being. Amen. When you did awesome things that we did not expect. Follow me. Follow me. When it is a true manifestation, it does not bring confusion, but it does bring the glory of God into this place and into our lives. I want you to study that for a second. We're not going to go bonkers in this church, believe me. You have to beg for an amen. Just say amen and we'll move along. But you know what I'm saying, folks. We're not going to go bonkers. This church is not going to go upside down just because Pastor brought Roy here. But I want you to, we're talking about God, folks. And we dare not become so lethargic or, as we said, in our comfort zones that we leave God out of the picture. God is not there just for when we need Him in a crisis. Jesus is not our religion. He is our life, folks. He is our life. And I challenge you, let's believe God for the unexplainable. To where God is free to be God and to move among us. To where there becomes an excitement in the body of Christ. I can hardly wait to get back to church next Sunday. I wonder what God's going to do next Sunday. That kind of atmosphere, that kind of attitude, that kind of excitement, folks, is contagious and it spreads throughout a community because it is spawned by the Holy Spirit. So one more time, when it is a true manifestation, it doesn't bring confusion, but it does bring God into this place and into our lives. For as Isaiah said in chapter 55, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Let me illustrate. There's a church on the West Coast that before the pastoral change, I literally went to this church every year for over 20 years. It's a great body of believers. Just an exciting, vibrant group of people who love God with all their heart and desire spiritual life and spiritual renewal. On one occasion, when I was there holding a meeting, let me back up for just a second. In this church, there are three sisters, and they're all blonde. Don't read anything into that. Two of them are deacons' wives, and the other one is they're very active in the church. And this was Monday night, and I had just been introduced, and I got up, and I was doing just a little bit of dialogue to warm up to the people. And while I'm doing that, two of the gals were sitting in the second or the third pew right over here, and they had a new lady with them. The lady was not in the church a year ago when I was there. And they were sitting over there, and they were kind of scrunched down in the seat, and they were giggling and carrying on like a bunch of junior high kids with their first sack of popcorn. You know, and I knew something was going on, and being the very shy, timid, you know, withdrawn person that I am, I just stopped and I looked at it because I know them very well. And I said, hey, I said, something's going on there. I said, how come you guys are laughing and enjoying yourself, you know? And then they just started giggling. And so I paused for a moment, and here's the story. The lady that they brought is new to the church. And the week before, she had gone to the doctor because she had a growth right here, an appendage. And they had examined it, and it was a tumor with all the properties of cancer. And so she was to go back the very next morning, Tuesday morning, to have it removed. And they looked up at me, and they were kind of giggling, and they said, as they were scrunched down on the seats, they said, during the worship service, it fell off. And they said, "We can't find it." When you did awesome things, when you did awesome things that we did not expect. Come on, church. Let's not limit God. God really wants to move in this place. He really does. Amen. Amen. The next morning, she went to the doctor. And when she came in, the first thing they did was give her a new x-ray. And then when they got them developed, the doctor came in holding the original x-rays and the new ones, and he was shaking his head. And he walked up to the lady and he said, "I don't understand this." He said, "I don't understand." He said, "Let me show you something." He says, "Look at these x-rays." He says, "Here was the tumor just the other day when you were in here. Da-da-da-da-da, you know." But he said, "Let me show you these new x-rays." He said, "It's gone." And then he said to her, "What did you do with it?" Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? I challenge you, folks. Let's not limit God. Let's not limit God. Let's begin to believe God for a fresh and a new day here in Glendive. Let's begin to believe God for a renewing of our spirit by His Spirit. And allowing God to be God in the midst of His people. Revive us again that your people may rejoice in you. You know, God doesn't need, church, follow me, my permission, my opinion, or my viewpoint. Poke the person next to you and tell them, "I'm convicted. Will you say amen for me?" Now follow me here, because this is very powerful. This is what we struggle with, folks. This is what we struggle with. I live in an America today. One of our great church apologists studying the church world today. There's a large, vast population of people who go to church who feel that they have a God-given right to pick and choose. The pastor can get up and quote 50 scriptures, but they feel they have the right to accept the ones they want and deny the ones they don't. To where truth has become a matter of taste, morality a matter of... I can't remember, the word just went right by me, but anyway, they don't live a moral life. Morality a matter of preference. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. I can choose and pick. That's the way you may see it, Pastor, but I don't see it that way. Church, we're talking about God here. We're talking about the Word of God here. There are only two things that are eternal, my soul and the Word of God. And God doesn't need my permission, my opinion, or my viewpoint. If He wants to send down water and lap up the burnt offering on that sacrifice and set it on fire, that altar's going to burn, folks. You understand, I'm giving you some biblical stories here. It doesn't matter that 12 barrels of water were dumped on that altar. If God says it's going to burn, it's going to burn. He doesn't need the church to form a committee and talk about, "We got this new pastor from South Dakota. You know, I was suspicious of him when he came. And now he's telling us that water burns." Who in the world brought him here in the first place? Hello? Come on, it's easy to do that. Just say amen, Kevin, and we'll move along. Come on, folks, follow me here. If God wants Aaron's rod to fall down on the ground and become a snake, that rod's going to start wiggling. And if the necromancers and the magicians, etc., from Egypt, their rods go down and wiggle, God's rod will eat them up. Come on, folks. Come on, that's our God. That's our God. If He wants a donkey to speak, the donkey's going to speak. When you did awesome things that we did not expect, come on, folks, the Bible's full of it. So let's not limit God. Let's not limit God. I need an amen here somewhere. If God wants to stop the world for 24 hours, church, the world is going to stop for 24 hours. Hey, you're going to love this, all right? Now, just right now, it's just you and I. We'll let the others come in, okay? Listen to this. This is incredible. Did you know that the space program is busy proving what has been called myths in the Bible? Mr. Harold Hill, president of the Curtiss Engine Company in Baltimore, Maryland, a consultant in the space program, relates the following development. This is incredible. One of the most amazing things that God has for us today happened recently in our astronauts and space scientists at Greenbelt, Maryland. They were checking, follow me, they were checking the position of the sun, the moon, and the planets out in space, where they would be 100 years from now and 1,000 years from now. We have to know this so we won't send a satellite up and have it bump into something later on its orbits. We have to lay out the orbits in terms of the life of the satellite and where the planets will be so that the whole thing will not bog down. They ran the computer measurements back and forth over the centuries, and all of a sudden, the computers came to a halt. The computer stopped and put up a red signal, which meant that there was something wrong either with the information fed into it or with the results compared to the standards. They called in the service department to check it out, and they asked, "What's wrong?" When they examined it, they said, "Well, there is a day missing in elapsed time." They scratched their heads and tore their hair. That's what scientists do. But there was no answer. Finally, a Christian man on the team said, "You know, one time I was in Sunday school and they talked about the sun standing still." While they didn't believe him, they didn't have any other answer, so they said, "Okay, let's check it out." Upon checking, they found in the book of Joshua, and it's in quotes here, a pretty ridiculous statement for anybody who has, in quotes, common sense. So just look at the person next to you because they're ridiculous. And they found that according to the scripture, Joshua was concerned because he was surrounded by the enemy. You know the story. And if darkness fell, they would overpower him. So Joshua asked the Lord to make the sun stand still. And in Joshua 10:13, the Bible says, "So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and hastened not to go down about a whole day." There was the missing day. They checked the computers, going back to the time that it was written in the Bible, and found it was close, but not close enough. The elapsed time that was missing back in Joshua's day was 23 hours and 20 minutes. Not a whole day. They again read the passage, and there it said about, approximately, a whole day. That still didn't account for the other missing 40 minutes. The 40 minutes had to be found because in projecting special orbits, it would be multiplied many, 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 many times over. Again, the Christian man remembered somewhere in the Bible it said that the sun went backwards. In 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah, on his deathbed, was visited by the prophet Isaiah, who told him that he was going to die. Hezekiah did not believe him and asked for a sign as proof. Isaiah said, now you remember the old sundials with the arm up and as the sun, the shadow. Okay, here we go. "So shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Talking about the sundial. Hezekiah replied, "Ah, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. Interestingly enough, 10 degrees is exactly 40 minutes. Think about that. In our day, folks, all these scientists pulling their hair out, all they had to do was go to church. 23 hours and 20 minutes in Joshua, 40 minutes in 2 Kings, made up the missing 24 hours in space travel that had to be logged in the logbook to find the missing day in universe. Wow. If God wants to stop it for 24 hours, it's going to stop, folks. It's going to stop, you know? If God wants to part the water and save Israel, that water's going to part. Come on. Did you hear the story about the agnostic who was just chewing up Christians and spitting them out because they were so foolish as to believe the Bible? Would you like to hear about that? This agnostic was speaking before a vast crowd in a convention. And he was talking about whatever. And all of a sudden he got on the Bible and he said, these crazy Christians, they believe, you know, there's miraculous things in the Bible and on. He said, this nonsense. He said, take for instance, the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and going into what they called the Promised Land. And they got to the Red Sea. He said, anybody who knows the area there knows it's not the Red Sea. The Bible's wrong. It's the Reed Sea. And he said, crossing the Reed Sea is no big deal because it's only 3 inches deep. And when he said that, some woman out in the crowd just yelled out, oh, praise God. You know, it's like being here tonight. Just people... I mean, the speaker got whiplash. You know, like, what? And he goes on talking about the, you know, how foolish and the... And after the 15th, oh, praise God, and the 12th, hallelujah, he stopped and he said, woman, what is wrong with you? He said, you're acting like you're at a camp meeting. He said, this is not a camp meeting. This is a convention of the intelligent people. What are you doing here yelling praise God and hallelujah? And she said, well, sir... She said, I'm just a new convert to Christianity. She said, I don't have the training and the background that you have. It's all new to me, and I'm just learning. And she said, what you're teaching is phenomenal. It's better than what I heard in church, she said. Just think, sir, the whole Egyptian army was drowned in 3 inches of water. Hello? If God wants to do it, folks, it's going to happen. If he wants the Son of God to walk on water, he's going to walk on water. If he wants that man at the pool to get up and take his mat and go off, he's going to get up and go. If he wants to stop a funeral procession and give the dead child back to his mother alive, it's going to happen, folks. If he wants to take a little boy's sack lunch from Long John Silver's, you know... with some fish and some biscuits in it and feed 5,000 people, it's going to happen. The atheist was speaking at the convention and he was chewing the Christians up and spitting them out because they talked about miracles in the Bible. And this great, knowledgeable PhD said there is no such thing as a miracle in the Bible. He said everything can be explained, but Christians are so foolish to believe that nonsense. He said, take, for instance, the story of the little boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish feeding 5,000. He said, that's not a miracle. He said, the Bible doesn't tell us how big the fish and the biscuits were. Hey, deacon. Can't you just see this kid coming over the hill dragging 5 whales and 2 bakeries? Come on, think about it. And they think we're crazy. Come on, folks. Let's believe God for the unexplainable. If he prays over that lunch, it's going to feed 5,000 and they're going to have more left over than what they had when they began. Come on. If he wants to set it on fire, it's going to burn. If he wants the animal to talk, it's going to talk, folks. Let's not put our God in a box. You know, if he wants Lazarus to come forth, don't stand there and say he's been there 4 days and he smells. If Jesus said he's going to come out, he's going to come out, folks. That's our God. So I want to drive it home. Follow me here. Follow me here. God doesn't need my opinion, my permission, or my viewpoint. Let me show you why. This is not a play on words, but opinion has no revelation. We are people of revelation. The word of the Lord comes unto God's people by revelation. We don't dream this up, folks. God speaks it into our heart. God makes it come alive by his Spirit. We are people of revelation. Paul announced that his whole ministry started with God revealing his word to him. We are people of the book, folks. And the book isn't something that was dreamed up by an individual or individuals. It was the word of God came to the holy word of God came to men as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And let's capture that tonight. That's what makes Pentecost so unique, folks, is that we are people of revelation. The word comes alive to us. And when God says march, we watch the water part. When God says stand, we stand. When God says pray over the lunch, we pray over the lunch, folks, knowing believe and you shall receive. I read somewhere in an ancient manuscript, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Because we are people of revelation. Number two, your opinion has no dominion. Now I want you to rejoice with me, folks. Come alive here. We are people of dominion. Come on. We're not an accident here in Glendive. The Bible says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that we are redeemed by the blood of... He went after us to bring us into the family. The Bible says that we were chosen, think of that, before they even founded one brick upon another to make this world. And I could go on. Next time you read the book of Ephesians, just starting in chapter 1, just use the word, I am, as you begin to read that first chapter. I am chosen in him. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am, I am, I am. There's a whole bunch of them, folks, because we are people of dominion. We win. Amen. We win. I said to Brother Mitchell tonight, I said, we win. We might as well act like it. You know, we're the church, folks. Come on. God did not put the church together to be a loser. The church wins. The gates of hell fall by the power of a church that marches forward in unity. Amen. Man, this is good. I'm going to go on just to hear the rest of it, okay? Number three, we are bound by our opinions. I know I don't look at folks, but I'm older than your pastor. And I didn't give one amen. In over 50 years of ministry, I've learned a lot, folks. I've learned a lot. And one of the sad things I've learned is a number of people that I've known on this journey, their lives never became significant because they were bound by their opinions. They were afraid to move out and trust God. That's why Isaiah said, when you did awesome things, that we did not expect. Let's begin to believe God for the unexplainable. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you think we need these manifestations today? Okay, about half of us, all right? Say it again, sister. Absolutely. Absolutely. As Pastor alluded to today, and I did, the nonsense of America today is beyond the pale, folks. It's beyond the pale. But we're the church. And we're not here to hide. We're not here to be insignificant. We're the church. We're the church. And we're here in the midst of this chaos, folks, to be light and life. And that happens by a God who moves in and through his people. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, The Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation. Let me tell you a fascinating story that happened there, not very far from here, but it will illustrate this. Don't put God in a box, folks. Don't put God in a box. I don't know if you folks were in the Baker Church when this happened, but my brother-in-law used to pastor in the Baker Church, Paul Wheeler. Some of you may remember the name. That was my wife's brother, and they pastored there for many years. And on one occasion, on a Sunday morning, one of the families in the church came in with a brand new couple. And you know how it is. We love new people coming in, you know, even if they visit on a Sunday night. We love it, absolutely. And during the worship service, it was just a beautiful spirit, and the worship team there and Baker was leading in worship, and there was a pause. And during that pause, there was a message in a heavenly language. Now, we know what that is. But church, let me tell you something. When you're the pastor and you're standing up front and you've got new people and there's a message in tongues, a heavenly language, and there's no interpretation, that's awkward. Hello? Think about it. And we normally say that the Bible says the person who gives the message, you know, you should give the interpretation. It says right there in Corinthians. Or if God has given you the message, don't be afraid. Feel free to share it with us because it is for the edification and the comfort and the strengthening of the body. It's part of God's plan to minister to us, you know. That's the way it works. And so this message came and, you know, the organ is softly playing and we're waiting, or they're waiting, and it's awkward. Now follow me. When you did awesome things that we did not expect, all of a sudden, the brand new couple, he raises his hand. And he says, Pastor, to my brother-in-law, Pastor, would you like to know what that lady said? You see, it's real easy, folks, to be critical. It's real easy to be judgmental. It's real easy to have our opinions and our viewpoints and miss what God is doing. Listen to this. That couple were missionaries from a denomination that flat out denies anything to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they are very almost agnostic in how they handle it. And they're missionaries in the Caribbean. But the majority of the missionaries that they associate with in the Caribbean are Pentecostal. And they became keenly aware of something about these Pentecostal missionaries, is that wherever they go, good things happen. And they wondered, why is it? Why is it that these people seem to have a touch of God, they seem to have an anointing, they seem to have gifts that the rest of us don't have. And they learned about the Holy Spirit. And so they began to pray, God, if the Holy Spirit is real, you've got to show us. Because they can't talk to their church heads, folks. If their denomination finds out what they're contemplating, they'll jerk them off the foreign field. They'll probably lose their appointment and their papers. So they can't talk to their people. And so they're praying, God, show us whether the Holy Spirit is real. And of all things, God took them to the megatropolis of Baker, Montana. Hello? You know that large town between Litter Barrel and Resume Speed. You know? Come on, think about it. Think about it. They're all the way to southeastern corner of Montana to visit with some friends. They go to an Assembly of God church, and that Sunday morning, a woman speaks in the native tongue of the tribal people they're endeavoring to reach in the mountains in the Caribbean. Thank you, sister. A little louder. Praise God. Come on, church. when you did awesome things. Don't you think they had a rally that morning? Think of it. Think of it. When you did awesome things. We had no idea the girl was deaf. Now she can hear. We had no idea there was a woman out in the audience that was going to ruin the whole crusade. Hello? Yeah. Come on, church. We had no idea God was going to come down and baptize that city and let them know there's a power called the power of God. There's a name called the power of the name of Jesus Christ that God, that will just bust up all the demonic nonsense in that city and bring Jesus Christ to the forefront. Come on, folks. When you did awesome things that we did not expect. My wife shares her testimony as a child growing up in a preacher's home. As a child, so small, I was sitting on my mother's lap. I saw people slain in the spirit where they fell all over the front of the auditorium. No one fell on anyone else. No one ran around to catch them. No one stepped on anyone else through though their eyes were all closed. As a child, I knew God was in that place. I remember it to this day. Church, I referred to this morning, and I meant it with all of my heart. You come from a background like mine, folk, and then you meet this incredible God who does exceedingly abundant beyond what you can even ask or think. This incredible God, folk. You want your children to experience that. You want your grandchildren to experience that. Never in our family did we ever want church to become commonplace. Never did we want it just to be a club where we go with our friends, folks. It was vitally important to us. I learned real quick. Let me insert this. I told you I pastored a very large church, and we worked very hard to present ourselves honorably before the community there as the representatives of the kingdom of God. But I learned real quick, it doesn't matter, folks, how wonderful a vocabulary I have, that I can get up in the pulpit and pontificate with great profundity on Pentecostal palaver. Just say amen and we'll move along. Amen. You know, we had phenomenal music. My wife was our minister of music. And our choir and our concerts were outstanding, folk. But that's not why we're in the business. I learned real quick, if we don't make time for God, if we don't allow time for the Spirit of God to move, folk, they come in crippled, they go out crippled. They come in with their messed up marriages, they go out with their messed up marriages. They come in their bitterness and their anger, and they go out with their bitterness and their anger. I learned it doesn't matter how sophisticated we make a presentation. If God is not allowed to be God, folk, if he can't manifest himself, they don't get healed, they don't get delivered, they don't get set free, because I can't do that. But God can. But God can. Think with me as you look at the screen. Planting new churches all over the world, folks, amongst unreached people groups, Arlene and I learned that we have to experience the same thing we read in the New Testament. What am I saying here? Everywhere Jesus went, folk, next time you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, note this fact. Before he does anything else, somebody is healed, somebody is delivered, a demonic is set free, or resurrection power is manifested. Why is that? Because in every locale, until Christ comes and reigns, it is under satanic domain. And that bondage has to be broken. It has to be broken. But once it is broken, folks, all heaven pours forth. When we were in Paraguay, as an example, working with Don and Lorene Gould, missionaries that some of you know, they've been here in the past, working there, Paraguay sat numb to the gospel. Great revival in Brazil, great revival in Argentina, and here sits Paraguay, numb. And we were there preaching night after night, week after week. When we first went there, it was month after month, until finally that satanic bondage was broken in that country. And we grew 1,000% 7 years in a row. When you did awesome things that we did not expect. It wasn't just good enough to show up as a missionary. It wasn't good enough to show up as an evangelist. It wasn't good enough just to pitch a tent, folks. The bondage has to be broken so that God can part the water. God can raise the dead. God can be God in the midst of his people. Amen. Amen. They're on your team, Pastor. They're on your team. Amen. Well, let's wrap this up. Is the Dairy Queen open yet? You were so cool this morning. We don't have one.
And that's a sad tale because you got to go to Miles City or Sydney to get a Dairy Queen.
Not tonight. Amen. Amen. One more time. When you did awesome things that we did not expect, let's believe God for the unexplainable. In just a moment, we're going to pray for just a second. But as we do, let's focus on this. Church, let's believe God for a move, a manifestation that is unexplainable. Say it with me. Church, let's believe God for a move, a manifestation that is unexplainable. Your eyes are closed. Point your hands towards heaven. Don't put them up high. They get heavy. Just put them at your side and point them up.